Well, Howard Campy's prophecy about the rapture was wrong. That was a foregone conclusion. We knew that would be the case. But what are the practical lessons we can learn from this going forward?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Is anyone really surprised that we're all here? Come on. Is anybody actually surprised in the least that it's May 23rd, Monday, and we are here, and the rapture did not occur, and the end of the world plagues and judgments did not begin? Is anyone actually surprised? If you are listening and you are surprised, we're going to help you today. So I'm glad you tuned in. For everyone else that, like me, has known from the day that the false prophecies and teachings were uttered that it was impossible for them to be real and true, welcome, everyone, to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us as we seek to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, Ask Dr. Brown. Right on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Join our community there. Interact with us in real time on Facebook. Okay. I actually was a little bit grieved that I had to talk about this issue with Harold Camping's prophecy or teaching as much as I did. It was so bogus. It was so off the wall. There's so much off the wall stuff out there. Why focus on this? But because it did get so much attention, and because there was so much money spent on advertising, and because there were very sincere people who were duped, I knew it was something we had to talk about. Now that it's, well, Mr. Camping, when does he go on the air today? Anybody know? Joey, Hal, anybody know when he goes on the air today? Is later? Later in the day, evening, whatever, he's supposed to speak. That's the last thing I saw. I saw notes that he's alive, but not well. He's flabbergasted. He's got to really try to figure out what happened, etc. I mean, we can tell you pretty easily what happened. And I'll tell you the only appropriate response he could give when he does, if he does come on the air later today. I'll tell you there's only one appropriate response he can really give. But I want to talk to you practically. Reflect on how people got off, how we can make sure that we ourselves don't fall into the same kind of error. There's a lot of stuff that's been happening in the news. There are new presidential candidates now who've announced Tim Pawlenty and Herman Cain on the Republican side. There were the devastating tornadoes in different parts of America, wiping out a good part of Joplin, Missouri, and certainly a lot of concern for the devastation damage that was done there, much loss of human life, and I mean, just a lot of shaking. Of course, it didn't happen on Saturday, by the way. That happened on Sunday. It didn't happen on the end of the world day. It happened on Sunday. But for the people in Joplin, getting hit like that, devastated like that, it could have just as well been Saturday for them. We'll talk about some of that, some interesting poll data that's been in the news a lot. We'll talk about that as well. Obama in the Middle East. I am going to do a show on Thursday, God willing, on sorting out the Middle East conflict. So we'll focus on that because there's been more movement on both sides of that issue after Mr. Obama's infamous speech about the 67 borders last year. But if you'd like to interact with me about the Harold Camping deception, we want to be constructive, okay? We all understand how terribly off he was, or most all of us understand how terribly off he was, not just in this teaching, but in other areas as well. And we recognize the damage that's been done to the body, to the reputation of Jesus. Yes, yes, redemptively, people have used this to talk more about the second coming, to talk more about if Jesus were to return, are they ready? And why are we longing for his return? And those kinds of things. I recognize that anything that Satan means for evil or people do wrongly, God can turn around and use for good. But this brings tremendous reproach to the gospel. It brings tremendous reproach to the idea of the return of Jesus. It brings tremendous reproach to the concept of a final judgment day. It makes it sound like it's all a mockery. That's a grave concern. And some people will lose faith entirely in God and his word because they were following a man more than God. All right, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break, catch up on the news as well. Get your perspectives right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, if you live in an area that was devastated by a tornado, another natural disaster, maybe you've suffered through, maybe you've lost loved ones in the midst of it, it reminds me of the fact that in this world, we will have calamity and tribulation. As believers, we cry out to the Lord and we trust Him for His grace, even for His supernatural protection. But in this world, there will be trouble, there'll be opposition because of the gospel, and there'll be messes because it's a messed up, fallen world. There will be natural disasters. There have been many in world history. Jesus reminds us that just a natural disaster does not indicate that the end is here. The end is not yet, and yet these disasters have been happening for centuries. Michael Brown, thank you for being with us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Okay, so I've been told that Mr. Camping, if he comes on, he comes on in the evening, what, 7:30 in the evening, Eastern Standard Time. There's only one appropriate response he can give, in my humble opinion. There's only one appropriate response. I imagine there'll be some contrition. I mean, it would be a little too far-fetched for me to think he'll get on and say he figured out the flaw. He figured it out, and it's like next week or next month. I have a hard time thinking that'll happen, but when you're deceived, anything is really possible. And it could be that he'll be very contrite and apologize, and then suddenly people are sympathetic with him, and wow, we have to give him the benefit of the doubt, and so on. I'm all for showing mercy on a personal level, but there is corporate responsibility. The only appropriate thing that he could say, and I don't mean renouncing his other false teachings, calling everyone out of the churches and out of all congregations and other wrong, erroneous teachings that he has been guilty of putting forward. But just this specific thing. The only appropriate response is to say, I have terribly misled you. I was sincere, but I was absolutely wrong. I terribly misled you, and I have no business being a teacher in the body. I have disqualified myself from being listened to as a teacher in the body, and I am stepping down from my radio post. Now, he's 89 years old, so it's not like there's a, you know, much, like 30 years of ministry ahead, even in the best case scenario, but that's the only appropriate response. The full repudiation of the error and the recognition that he has been in serious enough error to mislead people seriously enough that he has no business teaching on the radio. It's one thing if he said, you know, I know no one knows the day or the hour, but if I feel we're getting really close and I think we're in a certain season and let's really be praying and so on. That's one thing. When you dogmatically teach this is it, when you say this is it infallibly, when you won't even dialogue with those who differ with you on it because this is fixed and this is what the Bible says, even though it's based on your own erroneous calculations, you have now disqualified yourself. The only right response is to publicly get up, apologize, renounce this, and say, I am stepping down, and all the letters and words of encouragement to me to keep going, and we still love you, Brother Camping, that will not do it. I am stepping down. If at some point I go through a restoration process and see why I was in such serious error, and I'm asked to come back by leadership, that's one thing. Look, we're talking about something very serious here. We're talking about a serious misrepresentation of the Lord and His word in an ultra-dogmatic way that has hurt many people and brought reproach to the name of Jesus. That's my opinion. 866-34-TRUTH. I am all for mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment, James Jacob writes to his readers in the second chapter of that book. I am all for showing mercy. I am all for restoration. I am all for extending whatever we can to help people who have fallen, who have messed up, all for it. And every one of us, I myself, everyone listening, we are all recipients of the mercy of God on a daily basis, okay? And all of us have areas where we have blind spots, and all of us have areas where our teaching is not perfect. Obviously, we all can't be right about everything. When we differ with each other, then it's not possible for all of us to be right about everything. So we have to tread very carefully. That's why we're also warned in James, Jacob, chapter 3. I always remind you, should be Jacob, and just little by little trying to sow seeds of a movement to get it changed to what it is in Greek, Jacob, and most every other language, Jacob. in the third chapter of his book, he says, not many should be teachers because we'll be held more accountable. Look, I really weigh things carefully when I get on the air, because this is different than even teaching in a ministry school or a church or congregation where you know your people that are coming. I don't know on any given day who's listening or how long you're listening to a show. And you may put a lot of weight in my words. So we have to be really, really careful. And I say there's only one appropriate response, completely repudiating the error. I was wrong. It didn't happen. I am troubled. I'm grieved. And I realize I have disqualified myself from being a teacher in the body or being a voice on national or international radio. And I'm immediately stepping down. That's the only right response. Anything else is just trivializing the error or adding to the deception. Again, in my opinion, 866-34-TRUTH. I do want to go through some practical steps in terms of how we can all avoid this kind of error in our own lives, either as teachers, as preachers, as leaders, as congregants, as believers, whoever we are, how we can avoid this kind of error. Also, there's an interesting passage in the Talmud in Tractate Sanhedrin that basically curses anyone. Blasted be the bones of those who calculate the dates of the end, because when the date comes to pass and nothing happens, then everyone loses hope and it brings reproach. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Adrian in New York City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, amen, Dr. Brown. I agree with everything you said. And the news media this morning, they said that he had said he was flabbergasted. But I was just really upset how the media mocked it. And I had a question for you. What do you think about the Jewish version of these Bible codes where they did the prophecy in scriptures, like the fall of the World Trade Center? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, sure. And it's I'm glad you asked the question, Adrian. It's one of the things that I was going to raise, that the Bible is not a mystery code book. In the, excuse me, volume 5 of my series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, I deal with this whole idea of Bible codes, and that this would be that within the Hebrew text, that if you count letters, you know, every fifth letter or tenth letter or secret codes, that you'll discover, like you'll find some famous Jewish leader, and then you keep searching and he'll give his birth date, or you'll have this code about the fall of the World Trade Centers. Here are the reasons that I reject it. Number one, nothing has been prophesied for the future. It's all things that have already happened that are allegedly found in there. So that's the first thing. It's of no practical value to give you future information to save you from disaster. It just allegedly has all these other secrets hidden there. The second thing, which you don't often hear publicly, is that when this is used by religious Jews, they also use it to show that Jesus was a false prophet. They allege that there are codes that attack him and expose him. And then there are Messianic Jews who say, no, if you look at the codes right, it proves the prophecies. That's not the purpose of Scripture. You never have anyone in the Bible pointing to codes like this. It's just based on what do the words actually mean. In other words, as you and I are talking, if someone now goes and counts every 11th word that I said and puts it together to say Mickey Mouse will be the next president of the United States, no, this was not a secret message of mine. That would just be some bizarre coincidence. We're communicating in a way that's intelligible. Same thing with the Bible. Here's the last problem. We do not have the original spelling of the original manuscripts. How old are you, Adrian?
I'm 34.
34. In your lifetime, spelling of certain English words has changed, and even more in my lifetime at 56. If you go to England and you spell the word color, it's C-O-L-O-U-R. In America, American English, it's O-R. The word judgment, you'd see, or judgmental, or you'd see it with an E. We've gotten rid of one of the E's. Worshipping, that was spelled with two P's. Now we've gone to one P. In other words, spelling changes over the centuries. So the earliest conventions of Hebrew spelling are different than the conventions of Hebrew spelling when some of the scrolls were copied of the books of the Bible. So we don't even have the exact letter count of the five books of Moses or these others. So what we're counting is words from later manuscripts on top of it. So for many, many reasons, I don't accept the Bible codes. I don't use them to prove Jesus as the Messiah. I don't accept them when they allegedly attack him as the Messiah. And most importantly, Adrian, that's not what the Bible is for. It's not given as a secret code book that if we can discover the missing key, we'll then get insight into what it actually means. No, God's words are plain and clear to those who will humble themselves and follow him. But Adrian, thank you for calling. Thank you for the question. Again, one of the principles that will keep us from avoiding deception is keep the main things, and keep the plain things plain. And in other words, don't look for some hidden mystery when it's not there. When you're getting a train at Penn Station in New York and you look at the charts and it says this train going to Ronkonkoma at this time, you don't try to count the letters and skip the words and try, no, you know, this track, this time, this day, going this direction. You read the newspaper and it gives you the headlines, tornado in Joplin, Missouri, deadly tornado. You don't skip letters. It's the same thing with the Bible. It's God communicating to us in intelligible language. We'll be back. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There are some other issues I want to get to, some newsworthy items, but with all the interest in the failed predictions of Harold Camping and us sorting them through in a constructive way today, I'm not sure how many newsworthy items I'm going to get to and some important updates. We've got a few more days this week to do that. So 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 to get in the discussion. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Okay, I've said that the only appropriate response for Mr. Camping, if he gets on his radio broadcast tonight, is to say he was terribly wrong. He doesn't know how he was wrong. If he's already figured out how he's wrong, barring the massive repentance of the fundamental error of his ways here. But barring that, he recognizes he was wrong, he repents, he asks forgiveness, and says, I have disqualified myself from being a teacher in the body, and he gets off the air post-haste. The errors that people have been guilty of, the errors that people have fallen into that have opened the door for this, there are several. And I want to say this to us in a cautionary way. Never follow a man the way you follow the Lord. Never follow a man or a woman, a teacher, a leader, the way you follow the Lord. Oh, follow their godly example as they follow Jesus and honor them. And when their leaders, submit to them as unto the Lord, but never follow them the way you follow the Lord. Never have an allegiance to them that gets you to overrule your own conscience. Never have an allegiance to them that gets you to overrule the plain sense of Scripture. Never have an allegiance to them that gets you to overrule a moral standard. And not all of these apply in the case of Harold Camping, but quite a few do. And never abandon the body. Never look, there are brothers and sisters in the Lord all around the world and all over America. You may not find the perfect church. And I understand you may be in an area where there are hardly any believers, a lot of cults, or there's just a lot of weird stuff going on, or other religions, and it's hard to find a body that's really going after the Lord. There are believers. There are believers all over. What you need to do is connect yourself with other believers in a relational way, and where there is also recognized authority that can be submitted to and honored, where God has raised people up as shepherds and helpers. That's part of what the body is for. We need each other. The greatest error that Harold Camping made was not this false prediction, but rather calling everyone out of the churches some years ago and saying God has abandoned the churches. And never abandon, or ignore plain Scripture. When the Scripture plainly says, no one knows the day or the hour, that settles it. That settles it. When someone comes along and says, yeah, that was true for a while, but now God's begun to reveal something else, that's the moment you stop listening to that person. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. Donovan in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Donovan. All right. I don't know if Donovan's fell in a pool with the cell phone. Hal, why don't you see what happened to Donovan there? Hopefully he's all right. Sounded just like a swishing kind of swimming noise or windy noise. Hopefully Donovan's all right there. Mark in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing very well, thanks.
Okay, I'll just want to say something real quick on Harold Camping. It's just, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, you know, his predictions being made newsworthy and so forth. It's just another, you know, I believe to be a ploy of the enemy to discredit the word of God.
Sure.
There are plenty of men who plenty of people in the body of Christ who can actually expound on Scripture and give sound advice. But, you know, when you watch the news, if it's something pertaining to Christ, I mean, it's a gay pastor, it's somebody who's saying that it's all right to be gay according to the Bible, or, you know, somebody like Harold Camping. But it's never somebody who's sound. And, again, that's just to discredit it and make a mockery of it.
Absolutely right. The world loves its own, Jesus said.
Yeah.
And it's going to do that. You know, and if it's a Fred Phelps saying God hates fags, they're going to pick up on one stray voice out there. Yeah, it's you're absolutely right. And messages also that the world likes, either that make the gospel look silly or that tell us that there's no judgment. You know, ultimately what people want to know is I can do whatever in the world I want to do, and there's no accountability, and there's no God, and there's no judge. So you think of the things that get the publicity. You're absolutely right, Mark. No question about it.
And then the other thing would be, you know, I mean, I do believe we are nearing that point. I don't believe it. I can't tell you what day it is, but with Israel, for example, you have the United States, President Obama now saying, you know, he supports a two-state solution, wants to go back to 67 borders. The thing is that the Palestinians, they're trying to go to the UN sometime in September. Now, you already have nations like Russia saying they want a two-state solution, that they support the Palestinians. You have the European Union. And, I mean, it's just, is this not potentially the nation turning against?
Mark, I Thursday's show, I'm going to focus in on the Middle East and discuss the Middle East conflict more. So hopefully you'll be able to tune into that. Excuse me, but just to say this, and I'm short on time, Mark, so I'm just going to dive in with a few comments. But thanks for raising this. I live all the time with a sense of nearness of potential calamity and upheaval. I walk with the Lord. I trust in the Lord. I don't have a bleak, pessimistic viewpoint of things, but absolutely, I'm very conscious of how tenuous things are. Now, many Israelis support a two-state solution. President Bush supported a two-state solution. That's not the issue as much as dividing up the land, certain ways, 67 borders, dividing up Jerusalem. There's no way a two-state solution will last long-term because of the Palestinian hatred of Israelis. In fact, a good percentage of Israeli Arabs, so Arabs living in Israel, don't want to see the nation of Israel succeed. So these are tenuous times. I personally don't think that the direction that President Obama initially set is going to go forward. I believe there'll be too much backlash to that. But we'll pick up on that on Thursday. And I'll also talk about how we should live in terms of the end of the world. Maybe I'll even get to that in the second half hour here. Hey, friends, we have a terrific resource offer for you this week. All of you that really want to grow spiritually, grow in prayer, growing your relationship with God and knowing the voice of the Spirit, we've put together three CDs with 36 hours of teaching, 12 hours on how to be led by the Spirit, the most practical teaching I've ever done on this, 12 hours of foundations of prayer that'll really build your faith and encourage you with the call to pray, and 12 hours on foundations of intercession, what it really means to intercede. I mean, these are really life-changing materials. We've seen great fruits for them through the years. 36 hours of teaching on three CDs for your computer MP3 player, all for $30 postage paid. That's half of the normal price, and it's our way of sewing these into you as well. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978 for the special Spiritual Life package for this week. That's 1-800-278-9978 or online askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. 36 hours of teaching that I believe will deeply impact your life.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are practically reflecting. We are looking at some practical ways to react to the failed prophecies, predictions of Harold Camping. Again, it's no news. It wasn't news when it happened that it wasn't going to happen. It wasn't news over the weekend that it didn't happen. It wasn't news today that it didn't happen. But because it got in the news, we're going to do some practical reflecting on it today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, askdrbrown.org. Before I go back to the phones, normally on Fridays I do this, but since we're talking about false teaching and false information, I'm going to do this today. Some of the emails in my junk folder that are also unworthy of serious attention. How about this one? From Lorian Ulkst, U-L-K-S-T, Lorian Ulkst. The sooner it is brought to conscious awareness, the sooner it will end. That's the title of the email. That's supposed to trick me. How about this one? Dr. K.B. Amisa Arthur, urgent payment notice. Of course, they all want your personal details. Oh, this one's important. From Muhammad Hassan Ashmawi, General Bank Vice Chairman. Respond back to me if you are honest and trusted and capable to handle this business transaction. And, of course, send them all of my personal information. How about this one? How about this one? Look, it's a shame that people get pulled in by this. It's a shame they get pulled in by false teaching about the Bible. This is urgent, please, from Captain Anthony. And this one, Agent John Edward from the FBI, writing to me, yours truly personally. And this one from Dr. Tunde Bola, congratulations from the compensation office. Wow, it's just my day. You know, in fact, we should probably stop receiving offerings, or when we go out and preach for missionaries around the world, or receiving donations for our broadcast here, because, man, I got millions of dollars coming to me by email every day, probably you too. And then this one, this came right before the show, from the British Finance Authority, the British High Commission, writing to me personally. Okay, so what do I do with those? Well, I just delete everything that comes in the junk folder, but I have to glance at it in case someone new is writing to me that's never written before, because it'll go in there first. And then I delete these, and some of the funny ones I'll throw into a folder just to share on the air. That's what should have happened with the false teachings of Harold Camping. Instead, people spent life savings. And the media now picks up on this again to bring mockery to the idea of a final judgment and the return of Jesus. Let us pray that God will turn it and redeem it for good. Okay, back to the phones. Donovan in Brooklyn. Hopefully we got a better connection now. Yes, go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you doing?
Go ahead.
Hello.
All right. We are having a problem connecting with Donovan. Gardner in Yonkers, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, I understand all of the negative ramifications of Mr. Camping, but nothing in evangelizes like fear, destruction, and accountability. I believe that thousands have rededicated their lives to Jesus because of this date setting. And believe something good came out of it. Now, I'm not supporting the date setting or Harold Camping, but I believe that thousands have dedicated their lives because they thought that time was up. Millions of people throughout history are destined for hell because they thought they had more time.
And then, okay, so Gardner, I appreciate the perspective, but now that they realize it was a false prophecy because it wasn't based on relationship with God, aren't they just going to go back to their old ways? And maybe even harden their heart? And then what about the tens of millions that are now mocking the gospel because of this?
That is true, but I believe that there is a remnant that will have dedicated their lives if just purely out of fear.
Oh, okay, but now that the fear is past, but Gardner, the fear is past now. They realize it was all bogus. They realize the guy was deceived and it was all bogus, and the Bible doesn't teach this.
Nothing works like fear.
All right, well, I appreciate your perspective, Gardner. Thanks for weighing in. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that nothing works like fear, even when it's a false fear? I appreciate the call. We'll talk about it.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, let me tell you some of what we have planned for this week. Tomorrow I'll be interviewing, God willing, Hugh Ross from Answers in... hang on. I don't want to mix ministries here. Dr. Hugh Ross will be with us tomorrow. He's got a new book, More Than a Theory, about creation. He's one of the foremost scientists in the world with a staunch Christian belief in the authority of Scripture. He'll be on the air with us Wednesday. I want to talk about the role of prayer and awakening, but again, tell you some things happening in the culture that call for awakening. Thursday, sorting out the Middle East conflict. And Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers, as always, on The Line of Fire. All right. My thoughts again, if you're just tuning in, the only appropriate response for Harold Camping after his false predictions, prophecies, if he does come on the air tonight, is to apologize for deceiving people. He's maybe trying to sort out why he got it wrong, but to apologize, say he was wrong, and say that he has disqualified himself from being a teacher in the body and get off the air post haste. Retire from his public ministry. And again, the error of making the Bible into some secret code book, into some, you know, mysterious thing. It's not that. Yes, God opens our eyes. God gives us insight. Yes, there are things hard to understand where we need to seek him. But it is to open up the plain sense of Scripture, not to give us some secret revelations that violate other things that are plainly taught in the Word. 866-34-TRUTH. Our last caller said that God used the false prophecies for good because there's nothing like fear to awaken people. And yeah, when you realize judgment's near and people are afraid, they repent, they turn to the Lord. I believe that. I believe preaching judgment, preaching future judgment, is part of the gospel. And Jesus offers salvation from sin. It's good news that there is salvation from sin and from judgment. But I dispute the idea that setting up a false date and getting people to respond to that false date, and now they, quote, repent, well, the false date passes. Why in the world should they believe the whole thing? Unless God sovereignly reaches down and saves somebody, or they turn and God uses something Satan meant for evil and gets used for good. Other than that, to me, I see this doing far, far, far more damage, far more harm than good. Sean in Lowell, Massachusetts, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Hi, I just wanted to say that, you know, when I heard this guy a few weeks ago saying the end of the world and everything, well, you know, I smiled. I was like, I hope he's right. You know, I hope Jesus is coming. But, you know, God's word says, just like you said earlier, that no man knoweth the day or the hour of when he comes. And that's it. And what God says, that's what he means. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no, you know, a little mystery behind what he said. That's what he said. Nobody knows, not even Jesus. Jesus doesn't even know until
well,
God...
Well, certainly Jesus, when he was on the earth and emptied of certain divine prerogatives, wouldn't have known. But here's the point that's important, which is what you're making, is that things are plain, things are clear. And obviously Jesus wanted us to know that because of the tendency to constantly set dates and to try to figure out details as opposed right. to knowing the larger picture of times and seasons, etc. So based on that, we have a clear warning. And when anyone gets us to overrule, override, ignore a scripture that is absolutely plain, that's when you realize that person's teaching error. You say, no, but pastor, brother, you know, it says this very plainly. Oh, I know, but I have this other information.
Yeah.
That's when you recognize false teaching. Yes, thanks for reminding us about that. And look, I urge everyone who is a follower of Harold Camping to prove that you're not a follower of Harold Camping. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus, well, Jesus has not misled you here. Harold Camping has. And we and others have warned you that you're being misled. And when he told you, leave all the churches because the church age is over, that was his false prophetic authority. That was his false teaching authority. He misled you. He misled you. He hurt you. Now what you need to do is come back to the body, come back to your brothers and sisters, and come back to the Jesus who never hurt you and never misled you. You must make a distinction between the two and prove that you are a follower of Jesus and not of Harold Camping. Tishia in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Pastor Brown. I was just calling to say that with everything that went on with the camping thing, as a Christian, what we mainly have to do is stay in the Word ourselves and let the Holy Spirit guide and lead us and stay open to what He is saying.
That's
the only thing we can do.
The fact is, we should be part of a body, part of a fellowship. God does put teachers in the body, but ultimately, we must work things out between ourselves and God in His Word. And this much we know for sure: there is no possible way that if 10,000 or 10 million believers just studied the Scriptures on their own, that they would ever come to this date on their own. The date is completely, totally bogus. So I'm with you on that.
It is. I'm agreeing. Like, that's what I'm saying. If we, you know, read more and not so as to hear what someone, but, you know, read and study more and listen more. And, you know, if you're giving a word, it's for us to go and see what that word is. Even when we come from church on Sunday, we're supposed to go home and, you know, embellish back into that word and see what God is saying in that word and what is for that season and that time. You know, instead of taking it and jumping to it and going, yes, this is it.
Exactly.
You know, everything God is.
Test all things.
God of order. Yes.
Test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. And have the spirit of the Bereans in Acts 17, which is very open to the word, very desirous of truth, but testing everything based on the word. Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate that. It doesn't mean that we're all independent. It means that we all have an individual relationship with the Lord. And letters in the New Testament written, some to leaders like Timothy, but others just to the believers in the city. Yeah, there was apostolic ministry and leadership ministry, but yet the letters were written to the believers because we each have a relationship with God. If you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Yes, we should be part of a body. Yes, God does put teachers in the body and pastors and shepherds to help train and equip. But the bottom line is we all have our individual relationship with the Lord. Gary in Nutley, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I just want to say something about Family Radio. Family Radio has been a wonderful blessing to me in the ministry over the years. When I first became born again, it took me a long time to really understand what was going on, but I knew I was born again. But Mr. Camping and Family Radio have helped me to develop, like you said, the relationship with the Lord. And I have friends that also don't. There are a lot of people in Family Radio that don't agree with Mr. Camping. About coming, I still attend a church, and I believe I was studying in Matthew, which those are the words of Christ, where He says, "No man know of that day, for the hour, except my Father." But he should apologize. I totally agree. He should apologize for that. But I just want to say that Family Radio is a very good station with the music and the scripture reading. So
yeah, here's the problem, Gary, and I appreciate the reminder. It is unfortunate that the leadership of Family Radio has allowed Mr. Camping to broadcast his false views and to call people out of churches. In other words, there is an accountability that they have. So it doesn't mean that every word that ever proceeded out of his mouth was an error, but I used to listen also as a new believer living in the New York area, and I loved the reading of Scripture, that great voice reading the King James Bible. Man, I listened to that many, many a time. And then I would be mystified by some of Mr. Camping's teachings when everything would be spiritualized or become a parable in Scripture. Just bizarre stuff. And I thought, where in the world is this coming from? It was bad, but it didn't have the level of danger as the calling everyone out of churches and then the false date setting that brings international mockery to the name of Jesus. So that's where I feel there's a failure on the part of the leadership of Family Radio for not pulling him away earlier and straightening these things out. But thanks for the reminder that there is good music that's played. There may be other reading of Scripture, other teaching that's good. And that's what makes deception all the more deceiving. It gets mixed in with positive things.
Right. I don't want anyone to get confused by, because we like it says, you know, we don't put our trust in man. We put our trust in God. But I agree with what you have to say, though. But stay blessed, my friend.
All right. God bless you. Thanks for calling. Obviously, the whole focus is on this one individual and his false and dangerous teaching and how it's hurt people. thank God for any good that's come and for ongoing good that can come. But this is where it's really incumbent on family radio leadership. And I'm only saying these things publicly because it's of the public nature of what's happening. This is where it's incumbent on them to recognize their error, to call for a restoration process or a true repentance process in Mr. Camping's own life, and to look and search hard as to how they could be a part of this error. Look, we've all done things wrong, small or large. We've all believed things wrong, small or large. For me, that creates deep, deep upheaval in my own life and causes me to get on my face before God and do a lot of soul searching and talking with others that I'm in relationship with to see, okay, how was this wrong? How did this happen? Be it small or large, it's going to happen to every one of us. This is where we show what we're really made of.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are finishing up our first hour of constructive reflecting on the errors of Harold Camping, how we can avoid similar errors, what would be a right response from him, 866-34-TRUTH. Some of you that are on the phone, if you're able to hold on into the next hour, I'll try to take some of your calls at the beginning of the next hour. A lot of other issues to talk about, but based on the interest, based on the calls, we'll keep our focus here for these last few minutes of the program. Get involved in an online discussion by going to AskDrBrown.org and click on the Line of Fire. Then you'll find other resources that are relevant to today's broadcast as well. Frank in Jersey City, Jersey, thanks for being on the Line of Fire.
Hey, God bless you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
You know, Saturday, I don't know, I have a different opinion about Saturday. There was a caller before that said that there might have been some good out of this. Well, I kind of agree with him, but the same token, it made people, like some people that I believe were Christians, that should have known the Bible a little more. Where was their faith when they second-guessed? And I believe as us as true Christians, we should reinforce that word, reinforce the Bible, and go out and tell these people, you know, especially those that are on the fence, that don't know which way to go, that there are going to be false prophets out there. There are going to be people out there that are going to talk about God and really not know much about what's going on and give out a false prophet, a false saying. And as us, as Christian soldiers, we should go out there and strengthen the word, talk about God, talk about the love that Jesus has for us, reinforce the Bible.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, Frank, and look, I'm sure that God can use this for good. I'm sure that it got people talking about the end of the age. I'm sure it got people talking about how should you be living if Jesus is returning. It got people thinking about how wonderful it's going to be to be with him forever and ever and ever. Amen. And the reality is second coming. I'm convinced at this point far, 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 far more harm was done than good. And it will make it difficult for others to just share the gospel because the moment you mention the name of Jesus, it gets associated now with this false teaching. So that has to be overcome. Hopefully, people can recognize this was some fringe guy that was repudiated by all major teachers, leaders anywhere, and get back to the basics. Yes, what Satan means for evil, what the world means for evil, what people do that's wrong, God can turn for good. And let's continue to pray for that. And by all means, let's remind ourselves. Let me say it again. The Bible is not some secret code book. It's when I first got saved, reading the King James Bible, I noticed there were certain words in italics. Okay? Now, italics in King James does not mean italics the way we'd use it in English today, which is either for emphasis or if it's like a book title, you italicize. It's the equivalent of underlining. I'm reading Genesis 1 and these other passages, and I see these italicized words like and the. And it didn't make sense. What italics mean in the King James is that it's not exactly there in the original Hebrew or Greek. It's understood, but it's not exactly specifically there, okay? So that's all it means. Well, I didn't know that, so I thought maybe there's a secret code, and I'm the first one to discover it. I'm a brand new believer. And maybe if you just read the italicized words, there's a secret message. So I tried it, and I didn't get further than the first page of Genesis before I realized, okay, that's not the case. So I want to remind you, the Bible is not a secret code book. Melinda in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, hi. This is Melinda.
Yes, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted, there was a man who called before, and he said something about that he thought, you know, that good came out of what Kempin said, the false, you know, prediction. But I don't think that, you know, I think more harm has come out of it. You know, maybe some good somewhere, but the way I see it is, you know, as I looked at the media, how they had a good time mocking, you know,
yep.
And it's like some people's hearts are still hard. And even if Jesus were to come that day, you know, it just shows you they're mocking and laughing and not taking it serious. And all the more now when we try to, you know, share our faith, they're going to remember this and say, yeah, here you go. You know, here we go again. Yeah. And,
right.
You know, they're going to remember this thing, which is sad. But I just, you know, think that we need to pray for Brother Kempin because he is in the body of Christ. He just may be, you know, not reading the Bible and reading it the way he wants to read it instead of just accepting it for what God is telling him to accept it for. And I agree with you,
look,
the Bible is not a code. You know?
I appreciate the fact that he's wanted to study the Bible intensively all these years, but when you cast off the words of other leaders in the body, mm-hmm. from every denomination, every group, every background, basically, you cast off their warnings, you cast off their cautions, you pronounce that God is finished with all the churches, that all believers must leave the churches, at that point you really set yourself up for danger. You are really guilty of being a deceiver. And
yeah.
And look, every one of us is an imperfect vessel that God is working through. He's the only one perfect. His word is the only perfect truth,
True.
Which is why we walk in humility and we walk in recognition of the fear of the Lord and of honoring one another in the Lord. Those are the deeper concerns. But hey, Melinda, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Friends, if you've heard me say this once, you've heard me say it many times. Back to the basics. Major on the majors. Yes, the return of Jesus is an important New Testament theme. But can I tell you, if you'll study the scripture, you will see it is the what of his return more than the when of his return. Do you follow me? It is the reality of his returning and what happens when he returns and how we will stand before him and how we will be with him forever and so on. And we'll become like him, and we should therefore be pure as he himself is pure. It is the what of his coming that is much more important than the when of his coming in terms of an emphasis on our beliefs and our preaching. That way it's relevant for every generation. Generation who lived 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 1,800 years ago, our generation. And if there'll be another generation ahead of us or after us or 2 or 5 or 10, God knows, or for the last generation, it is the what of his return. Let's major on the majors. Let us use this as a great caution against date setting in our own lives. And let's live as those who will one day stand before God and give account. That, to me, is sobering enough. I don't need any dates or any kind of thing like that. Our resource offer, by the way, for this week really ties in on a very practical level to equip you to grow in relationship with God and deepen your foundations with God. 36 hours of teaching. 3 12-hour CDs for MP3 listening, How to Be Led by the Spirit, Foundations of Prayer, and Foundations of Intercession. The best teaching I ever did on this over the years. We've put together 36 hours of teaching. You can get it all, 36 hours, for $30 postpaid. That's actually less than a half price. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. We've got our team ready to take your order and get this sent right out to you. 1-800-278-9978. Get your roots down deeper in God. Deepen your relationship with the Word and the Spirit of God, and you will grow and flourish. Friends, my bottom line, despite the false prophecies and predictions of men, the glorious Lord Jesus will return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. And on that day, he will be admired and worshipped by those who believe, as we will be transformed in a twinkling of an eye and be with him forever. Well, Harold Camping's prophecy about the rapture was wrong. That was a foregone conclusion. We knew that would be the case. But what are the practical lessons we can learn from this going forward?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can you believe how much news there was about the failed prediction that we all knew would be a failed prediction about the rapture taking place in the beginning of the end of the world calamities on this past Saturday? Of course, the world had a field day with it. Yes, there's some redemptive stuff that can come out of it, but good time for us to reflect and learn our lessons. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, ask drbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire where you can get into a discussion about this very issue. A lot of other things going on, but we'll keep our focus here on practical lessons to learn. Because look, sincere people got deceived. That means it could happen to any of us. Reproach came to the name of Jesus. The gospel was mocked and will be mocked. Yes, good can come out of this. God can redeem things, but it's really good for us to do some practical, sober reflecting. I will focus, God willing, Thursday on the whole Middle East conflict and try to sort out the history of the Middle East conflict and some of the volatility surrounding President Obama's speech, and now each side trying to reach out to the other and soothe the differences a little bit. We will talk about that. And some of you may be living in areas that were hit by tornadoes. Joplin, Missouri, just terribly wiped out, terrible disaster, terrible death count. I'll tell you, those kinds of things happening, it must feel like it's the end of the world. It must feel like it's all over. I mean, I've never been in a tornado. We've been hit by some hurricanes. Long Island, growing up as a kid, New York, Long Island, there have been some hurricanes. And I remember the severity of one that swept through Long Island in the 80s. We didn't have a TV in those days, but we're listening on the news, and it's getting closer and closer and closer. And I remember our older daughter, I mean, our kids were little, and she said, why do we have to keep listening? It's just bad news. And then suddenly the radio cuts out, and the next thing you hear, the storm coming. And we had trees like as high as 60 feet high in the backyard. Next thing, trees start collapsing, and the house starts getting hit. And, you know, you feel, and then you go out in the street just a few minutes later, and it looks like bombs have dropped. You know, take you 45 minutes to get down the road that would have taken 2 minutes before. And those that were caught up in tornadoes now, and flooding, and tsunamis in recent years, and earthquakes, and other terrible tragedies, each of those feels like the end of the world, and yet we're still here. And yet these calamities have been here for decades and centuries and millennia, and we're still here. Yet we should live soberly, recognizing that the end of the world could come for any individual at any moment, and then we step from here into a place from which we can never return, either for good or for bad. That's sobering. But all this date-setting nonsense is nothing less than nonsense. So I want to give you some practical reflections. I shared some in the first hour of our broadcast today. I'm going to reiterate some of the practical reflections. There are other news items I may get to today. Otherwise, we'll pick them up later in the week. So your thoughts, 866-34-TRUTH. And we had one caller in the first hour who said, look, I don't agree with the prophecy. Obviously, you know, the date setting, the reading the Bible a certain way, it's obviously wrong. But think of all the people that, based on fear that Jesus was going to be coming at any minute or coming on Saturday and they were going to be left behind. Based on that fear, they repented and turned to the Lord. There's no motivator like fear. I recognize that people can turn to the Lord out of fear, out of judgment coming and the fear of the Lord or judgment of hell. But if you put a false word in front of people, and based on that false word, they now make a decision. What happens now? What happens to their faith? You tell me that they're not going to be terribly, terribly undermined? And how well are you really going to get to know Jesus when the whole reason you, quote, get saved is because the end of the world is coming on Saturday and it doesn't happen? All right, back with your calls and comments right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, so as one who loves mercy, as one who has received mercy, as one who does his best to be merciful to others, I say that the only right response of Harold Camping, if he gets on the radio tonight, reports are that he's flabbergasted. If he gets on the radio tonight, the only appropriate thing to do is to apologize for having deceived so many. Fine, he can say he doesn't know how he got it wrong, but apologize for having deceived so many and say that he has clearly disqualified himself from being listened to as a teacher in the body. No matter how much people say, we love you, Mr. Camping, we forgive you, doesn't matter. Step down, get out of the way, repent. That's the only right response, in my opinion. 866-34-TRUTH. Bob in Hyattsville, Maryland. Welcome to Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. You know, I had so many things I was going to talk to you. I agree with you 100% about what you said, and maybe he should start from point one and come back. There's a lot of people, I don't know why they approached me, and they said, what do you think? And I was like, well, all I knew was I was talking Bible 101. Some people are really scared. But also, the other thing I was thinking about, I've been on hold for a while. I hope you all don't cut me off, because that's the reason I get to hear you now, because I'm in the D.C. area, so I've been listening to your show for, I guess, more than an hour now, I guess, or close to that. And I was going to ask you about what your thoughts were about the Ethiopian Jewish people coming up, if that had anything to do with prophecy. But you said something about when you were in New York, when God was in the process of, probably long before I knew it, but when he was saving me, one of the things that happened, and I was in, I was getting ready to go to work down, I had to go south. I'm in Maryland. I was going down in Virginia, and Hurricane David, you probably might remember that, because we're probably around a similar age. It was coming up, there's like, they call them spinoffs, but there was tornadoes everywhere. And so I left like 2 hours early to go down. I was playing music, whatever, this place on Route 7 in Northern Virginia. So I left a couple hours early. And I said, I was always afraid of tornadoes. I thought maybe it's because I was put near the TV, maybe when the Wizard of Oz was on or something. I don't know, when I was at a bassinet or something like that. I don't know. But
tell you what, Bob, if you could just try to get to the point, though, because we're kind of all the way back to the bassinet. I'm a little concerned here. So the point is,
if you've been on if you've listened for about an hour, you might have a lot of questions, too. Well, anyway, I was just trying to put it all out there, and I was just thinking about, I guess the basic thing was, what do you think? Is there anything in prophecy about the Ethiopian Jews coming back to Israel? And I was just relating to something you said when you were in New York, so far
as
storms and
all
everything.
Right. But all right, just catching up and sharing your thoughts. All right. Hey, got Bob, in answer to the question about Ethiopian Jews, this has been ongoing for quite some time now. Jews being Operation Moses, Operation Solomon, these different rescue efforts to get Ethiopian Jews out of Ethiopia and into Israel. And now there's controversy because some of them, they're pockets of believers of Jesus, Ethiopian Jews who believe in Jesus. And will the Israeli government bring them into Israel the same way? This is ongoing fulfillment of prophecy over a period of decades of restoration of Jewish people from all over the world back to the land of Israel. So it's just part of larger pictures that God's promised would happen, and the ingathering will continue. Unfortunately, Bob, I can't keep you on hold because I have to free up the line, but you can always listen online. If you can get to a computer, you can listen on live. Just go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. All right, Joseph in Newark, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air, Joseph.
Yeah, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, actually, the first point I was going to make is responding to that guy that called and said that he's a positive thing. It's a positive thing.
Yeah, so just, let me just recap that for folks that some of you didn't hear. This was a caller from our first hour who suggested that there's nothing that motivates like fear, and that God used this, even though it was false, that he used it for many people, for a remnant to repent. They heard the prophecy, Jesus is coming, it's all over. They got afraid, they repented and got right with God, so God used that. So go ahead, Joseph, your response to that.
First of all, God wants us to turn to him out of love for him, not out of fear or for judgment, out of understanding that we are sinners. and that his grace is so much great for our position, and turn to him out of love for our Creator and Savior, not out of fear for judgment. Because this is not a true connection to God. So if they're turning in because of fear, he's not going to go anywhere, because this is not a sincere heart to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you agree with me.
Yeah, well, certainly, without coming to know the love of God, we can't be truly saved. There's no question.
Exactly.
Romans 2 tells us that God's kindness leads us to repentance. In other words, he's patient and long-suffering with us. Certainly, we know that the realities of the fear of the Lord, preaching judgment to come, that was part of the New Testament message. And we were called to repent and save ourselves from coming judgment. And yet, if it is not coupled with the love of God expressed through Jesus, how can we be truly saved? So we may run to him as we flee from the wrath to come, or as we flee from God's judgment on our sinful lives, but we have to then flee to him where we come to know him and his love and his mercy and his forgiveness. Otherwise, you know, we're not to have a fear-based relationship with the Lord. The fear of the Lord, we recognize who he is. We reverence him for who he is. We don't play games, but we don't live as if he's got some whip and one wrong move and he's going to kill us and destroy us. So, yes, ultimately, it's the love of God, sir, that brings us in. We're in sync on that. Thank you for the call. James in Stockbridge, Georgia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
Doing very well, thanks.
Love the program, as usual.
Well, thanks.
You've not let me down yet.
All right.
Your previous caller, just want to say, you know, I got saved out of totally selfish reasons, but now I'm head over heels in love with the man, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thankful for the fear that got me to where I can know the love. back to the your subject of camping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the director of a house of prayer in Stockbridge, and one of the things that we emphasize a lot is eschatology. And mm-hmm. what I've seen through the whole debacle that just recently came down is the fact that the enemy is using that, as you said, to make a mockery of something that's absolutely necessary, because how we view eschatology determines how we live today. If we have a just totally off-the-wall eschatology, then we don't have the constraints of the soon return of Jesus, of the fact that we're going to be judged. We're going to have an evaluation of our life where he sits down across the desk and says, why did you do that again? You know, and we're going to talk about that. And there's so much now that what I've seen is such a disaster is so many people that are young in the faith that because of this, now the taste in their mouth that I'm running over all over the place, running into, is I don't want to talk about that at all. That's just complete silliness. Just give me a practical Bible study. Give me something I can do. And that's really sad. We need to really be praying.
Right.
Because, yes, the Lord can turn that. But what I'm seeing as the immediate backwash from that is just really a sad thing.
Right. You know, you're absolutely right, James, that I've emphasized how this brings reproach to the gospel in the eyes of the world and how it hurts the people that were following Harold Camping more than they were following the Bible. But there is that wider ramification within the body, either a general skepticism towards the subject or, as you're saying with young people, a sense of disinterest, whereas the New Testament makes it very clear that the teaching of the return of Jesus influences and impacts how I live today. As I've emphasized before, it's the what more than the when. The New Testament gives us the picture of what happens when he returns and how we are to live in light of that. Look, we know that one day we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or that the whole world that doesn't know him, you know, the great white throne judgment, as it's called in Revelation 20. We don't need to know when it's going to happen, just that it will happen, that it's a certainty, and that affects how we live today. And to the extent the when ties in, it ties in because of what's actually going to happen. So that's a good point, James, and I'm glad you raise it. It's peripheral damage. It's other damage because now people who should have an interest in the return of Jesus, which is a great important theme throughout the entire New Testament, and not only because there was expectation of his soon return then, but because of what happens when he returns and us being with him forever and even longing for that and looking for that and longing for the kingdom to come in its fullness, Those are things we're losing. So we've got to do our homework on that and get the young generation excited about these biblical truths. But thanks for calling. Great observation. Great point. All right, friends. I'm eager to hear from Patrick. He's got an idea of what Mr. Camping needs to do in terms of a sign of repentance. So Patrick from Detroit, you'll be up next. Hang on the phones. I appreciate your patience. 866-34-TRUTH. As we reflect practically on the erroneous teaching of Harold Camping, how we can avoid similar error, the implications of it. I've got a bunch of thoughts I want to share with you on a practical level so we can move forward constructively. We'll do it right here.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let me share some practical thoughts before we go back to the phone. How about if I clear my throat for any of you? If you need to clear your throats, now is a great time to do it. We can just do that in unison here. Get our throats clear. There we go. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. As we discuss some practical reflections the day after the weekend of the event that never happened, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. A few practical thoughts. Number one, we should never, ever follow a man, a woman, a teacher, a preacher, a leader the way we follow Jesus. Follow their example, 1 Corinthians 11:1, to the extent they follow the Lord, Philippians 4:9, verses like that, follow their example. Learn from them, respect teachers and leaders God has put in the body, but never in a way where this person now becomes the mediator between you and God, or you don't know what to believe except just what they say and teach and preach, and even when they begin to stray from the plain sense of Scripture, you follow them. No, never do that. It's surely a path to error or to a divided heart. Don't cut yourself off from the rest of the body. The most dangerous false teaching that Mr. Camping gave is the one that the media really didn't report because it wasn't of interest the same way and it didn't have the advertising campaign behind it, which was all believers leave the body. God is finished with the church age. Get out. That's where the leaders of Family Radio really need to repent in particular towards the body, towards pastors, towards leaders, towards the believers they've hurt and say, we sinned against the body. We sinned against the church by following this wrong teaching. Forgive us. We were in serious error. And never ignore the plain truth of Scripture. When Jesus says no man knows the day or the hour, he's saying that for a reason, because there's going to be this tendency to date set and figure out and all these things. He's warning us for a reason. Never let anyone give you some teaching that is now going to override the plain sense of Scripture. And don't follow the Bible as if it's some mystery code book. Don't follow the Bible as if this is the only way that you can possibly, you know, you've got this puzzle piece here. And, you know, our daughters, when they were younger, used to do these puzzles, like 5,000-piece puzzles and several of them at a time. And they had it on the basement floor laid out. And every so often, I'd help them look for a piece. Like, yikes, how do you do this? Oh, got the, no, wrong. The Bible's not like that. It's not this mystery code puzzle. Oh, got the missing piece. Now we get the whole revelation. Oh, they're insights God gives us all the time. But the fundamental meaning of the word is clear and plain to those who will humble themselves and follow. That which we need to know is simple and plain. There are many things that are mysterious and difficult and deep where we pray and study. But the fundamentals are just that, fundamentals. Okay, Patrick in Detroit, Michigan, you've got some ideas about repentance from Mr. Camping. Why don't you share that with our listening audience?
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing well, thanks.
Yeah, I've served on boards, and I've been an elected official, and I was shocked reading a number of the news stories. This gentleman don't even know who Camping is other than the billboards and listening to your show, and quite frankly, the shock of seeing many of my Facebook friends just mock Christ and the return of Christ, which was really an eye-opener. Mm. But I was able to use as a tool to witness for our Lord and say this was not biblical, but I think I was really shocked that a guy that, you know, is a businessman that has 60-plus stations, that has a board of directors, that there was this unified, you know,
I agree with your statement that he should, and I don't know what his role is, but he should step down in whatever capacity is. But I think that he should, part of his apology, he should recognize and listen to other godly leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as what can be done for all of these people, and I read just stories that broke my heart of people selling their home and quitting their jobs and everything and donating the money. His organization, Camping's organization, should voluntarily make these poor people's situation right. If they, if there's a paper trail and they can show the money was donated to him or whatever. I mean, this is just such a horrible thing. And I can't imagine what these poor people, I mean, you just think of suicide is what the thoughts that are probably going through some of these people's heads. You know?
Yeah, and here's the real tragedy. I know for me, the ultimate nightmare would not be some bad report, someone was killed in a car accident, someone has cancer. You know, those things are terrible. But the ultimate nightmare for any of us would be that we're deceived, that there is no God, or that the Bible's not true, or that Jesus is not Lord. I mean, that would be the worst possible nightmare that would destroy absolutely every fiber of meaning in our lives. So for some of these people, they have made that connection. In other words, for them, this is what the Bible says. For them, this is Jesus. For them, this is the truth, and no two ways about it. And yeah, it's I'm sure there's going to be some real negative fallout for many. The good news is I'm hearing from some saying, well, I was always a little skeptical of, I was hoping against hope it would be true. Hopefully they can sober up. But yeah, to whatever extent, Patrick, there can be restitution made to those hurt. I know it's a tall order, but even to try to do it, or to say, listen, we want to take money that was given to us and send it to ministries helping feed the poor in other parts of the world. You know, something redemptive with it. But thanks for weighing in, and may the Lord turn the reproach ultimately to an opportunity to preach the gospel.
Yeah, just one last thing, if I could.
Sure.
I feel like this is the second time this gentleman has done this. And so if his apology is going to be real and be accepted by others, he really needs to step back. And if his radio stations really are, you know, a tool that can be used for the gospel, he needs to step back and have other men come in that are of godly counsel that may not all agree with him. He can't surround himself with yes men, or liquidate these stations and donate the money to others that are really, you know, promoting Christ.
Yeah, it's that serious. The deception is that great, especially the call to have everyone lead the body. And Patrick, you know, I can hear from your tone of voice, you're not a vindictive, angry-sounding person. The same with me. I mean, I'm for mercy wherever mercy can be had. I'm for long suffering wherever we can do it, however we can extend it. But there is accountability within the body. There is accountability. To whom much is given, much is required. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm just looking at the clock. I've got so much to say, things to reflect on. Again, my take is the only proper response for Mr. Camping, if he gets on the air, 4 hours from now, is to apologize to the world and to the body of Christ for misleading, for falsely representing Jesus, for teaching falsely, and say that he has disqualified himself as being a teacher in the body, and to step down. Oh, he can say that he realizes what he's got wrong, or has come up with something else, and people will say, oh, we're so sorry, and we're sorry, we love you, and we forgive you, and let's move forward. No, that would be a wrong response. There is no moving forward with this level of deception. The moving forward is recognizing the error, repudiating the error, renouncing it, and stepping down. Teachers have a responsibility in the body. This is not the kind of thing like, ooh, you know, someone called me and asked me about a verse last week, and I said, use this translation. You know, that wasn't the best translation. Use this one. Okay, we can all make a minor mistake, and we can all be in error about something serious. If we are, our repentance, our response must be equally serious. Otherwise, we cannot be taken seriously.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nations.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let's put this in historical context. What happened over this past weekend with the false teaching of Harold Camping and his claims that Jesus would rapture his own on May 21st. Of course, we knew from the day it came out it was bogus. It wasn't going to happen. It's the one guaranteed day he wasn't going to come back. That was self-evident. And then all the advertising that went into it and the fact that the media picked up it and the world picked up on it and the name of Jesus is being mocked and the second coming is being mocked at this hour because of the false teaching of Harold Camping. That's grievous. That's serious. But in historical context, you know, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in 88, which was just followed up by 89 Reasons Why He's Coming in 89, and thankfully was not followed up by 90 Reasons Why He's Coming in 90. But didn't a lot of people get saved through that? And then Hal Lindsey's great Planet Earth, late 60s, early 70s, didn't a lot of people get saved through that? Well, no, he didn't date set the same way. And some people think the book's a classic to this day, and others reject it. But come on. You know, certainly it was the sense he's coming any minute and people got saved based on that. So maybe good can come out of this. What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Now, I am not comparing Late Great Planet Earth to 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in 88, to Harold Camping's Deception, be it 1994 or the current one. What I am saying is that there have been people through the ages who have come to the Lord or come to faith based on date setting, based on prophecies that Jesus is coming any minute. My contention would be this, friends. It's one thing to have a certain theology, like the Late Great Planet Earth does, which is not so much date setting as much as looking at the state of the earth, looking at prophecy, and saying the end is getting very, very near, wake up. Which is always true on a certain level and potentially always false on another level, if you know what I mean, in terms of working out each specific detail of when and where and how. But the idea that the return of Jesus is real, look, I don't believe personally in a pre-trib rapture. I don't personally hold to that. However, my friends, my many friends, my many ministry colleagues who do hold to a pre-trib rapture probably talk about the return of Jesus and think about the return of Jesus more than most of us who are not pre-trib rapture in our theology. So I appreciate that in the midst of our differences that we have on eschatology, on the end times. But that being said, it is one thing to have a certain theology, which I may differ with scripturally, and yet is preaching the truth that there is a second coming, that we will be caught up to meet, and that we will be changed forever, that we should be living in light of his coming. That's one thing. It's another thing when you blatantly say falsehoods. This is how we've proven that it's this date. It's, to me, if someone comes to faith based on that, unless just God in his mercy saved a person through human error. I mean, I heard of two guys that got in a wrestling match one time, a believer and a non-believer, and you know, two kids, teenagers, or early 20s, whatever their age was, and the one guy holds the other down, says, I'm not letting you up until you receive Jesus. So the guy, just to quit the wrestling match, prays a prayer, but ends up getting genuinely born again. God can do anything. God can reach down and save us, but that has nothing to do with the method. The method is completely wrong. The method is completely bogus. As far as I'm concerned, if people, quote, come to faith based on false prophetic words, when the false prophetic words are seen to be false, it's going to be very difficult for them to separate that from the rest of their relationship with God. It's going to be very difficult for them to now say, okay, that was just this guy, Harold Camping, or his teaching, or that tract that this guy gave me on the street. That was false. This May 21st stuff was false. But you better believe Jesus is really coming back. You better believe my relationship with him is real. Unless God did something very profound in that person's life using error for the sake of good, or working through error to get to the good, to get to the truth, fine. But otherwise, to me, this does far more harm than good. It brings reproach to the name of Jesus, brings discouragement and disillusionment to those who wrongly followed, and then brings confusion to the rest of the body. As we heard from a previous caller today, why even talk about Jesus' return, the end of the age, and all this? Let's forget that and just do something practical. We lose the biblical importance of this truth. So a lot of things to sort out, talk through today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with your calls.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I actually have a stack of some important news items I wanted to get to, but I think I'm going to get to them on Wednesday. My plan this week is that tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to talk about some famous Bible mistranslations and how a better understanding of the verse is even more powerful than the mistranslated understanding. Wednesday, talk about the role of prayer and awakening, and again, some cultural indicators pointing to our need for awakening. And then Thursday, focusing on the Middle East, really looking to sort through the Middle East conflict more clearly. And Friday, as always, you've got questions, we've got answers. God willing, that is our plan of attack for the broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. But we focus today, I didn't expect to focus on this so much before the event. I didn't really want to after, but it's necessary. It's important. The false teaching of Mr. Harold Camping and how we can redemptively, constructively look at these issues. Debbie in Yonkers, New York, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Debbie.
Wonderful. I enjoy your show. Thank you for taking my call. I had the pleasure of seeing you in a debate with Rabbi Shmuley when The Passion of Christ came out, so I was happy to hear you on the radio.
Oh, back at the Hilton, the standing room only at the Hilton. Right. In fact, we entitled the debate after much discussion, Who Really Killed Jesus? And it was right before The Passion of the Christ came out. And that day, it was a Monday, there it was, the cover story in Newsweek magazine, Who Really Killed Jesus? So it was almost like advertising for the debate. But
I really enjoyed it. I learned, it was very interesting. I didn't get a chance I was a little bit afraid and intimidated, I guess, to ask my question to Rabbi Shmuley, that is. But nevertheless, I was glad to hear you have a radio station on the radio now, a station, a show, and I get to listen in, so it's a pleasure.
Well, thank you, Debbie.
My quick question to you is, it's twofold. One's a statement, and that is just with regard to the gentleman who had called in about fearing the Lord and his coming again and his judgment. Did he happen to be of the camping? Was he part of that? Is he part of that following?
No, this was for those that didn't catch this, this was a call earlier in the day from someone who said he doesn't agree, doesn't agree with Harold Camping's teaching. But he says, look, there's no greater motivator than fear. And fear is the great thing that'll turn people, get them to action. And that a remnant of people, in his mind, many thousands of people repented from hearing this message, even though it was a false date setting. There was a true message that Jesus is returning. So he himself did not agree with the prophecy, the prediction, but felt that it could be used positively.
I see. Okay. Because one of the things that he quoted, I think, from the Old Testament, perhaps, is in the past how people have come to the Lord out of fear, but it was not based, number one, on time frame that Jesus was coming back or that judgment was coming on this particular date. It's based on conviction. And we all know, in my opinion, fear doesn't keep you in a relationship. Love will keep you in a relationship. And there have been a few callers who have basically called in and said the same thing. My question to you is, with regard to prophecy and Christ coming the first time, was there a time frame more or less that the Israelites, that the Jews were looking towards of his first coming, basically? Because we do know that the three wise men, the Magi, had a time frame, and this is why they went to visit Jesus in Bethlehem, because they knew of some coming king. Did they use a time frame in the Old Testament?
There's some speculation. I believe you can show that the Messiah had to come before the Second Temple was destroyed based on prophecies from Haggai 2, Malachi 3, and Daniel 9. I get into this in some depth in Volume 1 of my series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. I believe that we can demonstrate that. However, that being said, there was a lot of different speculation among different Jewish groups. There were those that really felt that they were right at the edge. Some of the writers of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the impression that they're right at the end of the age. There's other Jewish speculation that would have put the return of Jesus within the first couple of centuries, the coming of the Messiah within the first couple of centuries of this era. But it's really disputed. there was certainly an anticipation of redemption, you know, with the oppression of Rome. There was looking for redemption. We know that Simeon was promised in Luke, the second chapter, that he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. But to say that there was a widespread expectation among the Jewish people that the Messiah was due in that very generation, no, I would say that's false. I would say there was some expectation in some of the groups that the Redeemer's coming was very, very near. But again, there's a reason for God not saying things or laying them out explicitly enough that you can just count the dates, figure it out, and then it works itself out. But thanks for the question, Debbie. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you. God bless you, brother.
God bless. 86634-TRUTH. Liz in New York City. Excuse me. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm so thrilled to get to speak to you. I also have known of you since you did a debate that Chosen People Ministries hosted probably also 10 years ago. My comment really comes from an experience I had. My husband and I were listening on the radio, kind of channel surfing, and heard mention of the book of Revelation, tuned in, started listening more closely, not realizing who we were listening to. And then these statements were coming out about predicting the rapture on May 21st. And I immediately had such a surge of fear and concern, knowing the truth of Scripture, that you can't know the hour or the day. And I turned the radio off, and I said, let's pray, because in the back of my mind, I remembered a devotional that David Wilkerson had mentioned in one of his devotionals in the last year. A believer must have the witness of the Holy Spirit to stay protected from the false teachers and prophets of this these end times. And in praying and praying for the Lord just to protect our hearts from any seed of doubt or fear that the enemy would try to plant even in our hearts, being resistant to that information, not putting any much value on it because we do believe the Scripture, but we also wanted to protect ourselves from any lingering.
Just so our listeners don't get worried, is this the end of the world, or are there just sirens in the background where you are in the city?
I live on a busy street in New York City. Mom does the same thing. She always
life. When I saw where you're calling from, having stayed in the city many a time and heard many of those same sounds. But just for those who aren't familiar, don't panic, folks. That was not a warning sign from heaven.
No.
That was just a siren in the blocks of New York City. So you're talking about the importance of the witness of the Spirit in your own life as you're hearing certain teaching.
When I prayed, the comfort and the peace that came over the car and our hearts, and I experienced that witness. I experienced that in my spirit, that to trust the Lord, to trust His Word, and keep our eyes on Him, and not be misled by a preacher or a speaker that is pulling off track and not speaking the truth.
And you know, there's an important principle I'd like to share with everyone, because it's possible for us to deceive ourselves. You know, I know people that have been in adulterous relationship, and they both pray and they say they have peace. You know, or I'm sure some of Harold Camping's followers had that same type of experience, the opposite of yours, and they'll claim that they had the peace and comfort. Here's what I would say that's very important. When we hear something, be it a doctor's report, be it a teaching of Scripture, that fills us with fear and panic, and we have a solid relationship with the Lord, we're walking with the Lord, we're not walking in willful, deliberate sin, we're in relationship in the body, we're trying to serve the Lord, we're people of the Word, and we hear some report that fills us with fear and panic and terror, something's wrong there.
Right.
Because even if it's a warning from the Lord, if it's to us as children, it comes a different way. The fear, panic, terror way tells you it's over. There's no hope. Oh, no. I was getting counsel from someone about a particular question about how to proceed with something I had written, and a legal question, whether I could cite something or not. And someone wrote back very sincerely. But that email was so terror-filled. It was like, and it was like, it's over. Oh, no. And then when I stepped back, I thought, you know, we're being very careful and really doing things ethically and as clearly as we can by the book, you know, what you can cite, can't cite, so on. And as sincere as that warning was, it came to us with the wrong spirit. So obviously, the bigger thing is having that solid relationship with the Lord we can lean on, depend on. But Liz, thanks for calling in and sharing that. And again, look, there is no one person in the body that has the secret that the rest of the body has to get. Oh, at the end of the show, I'm going to recommend some great resources we have on how to be led by the Spirit in prayer and intercession that will help you and minister to you. But I do not have the secret for your salvation, for your life as a believer. We're both believers. I do not have the secret revelation. If you don't get it from me, your whole life's going to be messed up. There is no such thing. The secret, I know I've unlocked the end times, only I have it. False, 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 no matter who the person is telling you that. That's when you just, with all respect, say, thanks, but no thanks.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us. Yes, indeed, we seek to be a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution and sorting out truth from error, getting to the roots of deception. That's part of it. Again, I encourage you never follow a man or a woman when they get you away from the plain sense of the Word of God, when they get you to violate your own conscience or your own moral convictions, or even your own common sense in God. Never, never ignore the plain teaching of the Word to follow an individual or a teaching or a denomination. Never treat the Bible as if it is some type of mystery code book and you've got to put all the hidden puzzle, put it, oh, we found the secret now. Listen, there are always insights we're going to get in Scripture till the day we die, and we'll get insights about who God is forever and ever and ever. But there's no secret mystery code to be pieced together, and somebody's got the piece. You must listen to them. No, that's not the way it works in Scripture. How do I just read the Bible and see how it quotes itself, uses itself, and how it builds foundation upon foundation? 866-34-TRUTH. Kathy, there's a Vancouver in Washington. I knew Vancouver, B.C., but there's a Vancouver, Washington also?
Hi. Are you talking to me now?
Yeah, I am. I'm trying to get my geography straight here.
There is a Vancouver, B.C., but no, yeah, there is a Canada, but I'm in the Washington right by Portland. Thanks
okay.
for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm pre-trib rapture, so I definitely tuned into what this Harold Camping was saying. I didn't do a whole lot of research on what his doctrines are, but they definitely sound off because it leaves no room for a 7-year tribulation period. Who's the Antichrist? I mean, it just seems very odd. And so he's clearly one of the false teachers, false prophets that the Bible clearly warns us to stay away from and beware of.
Yeah. So Kathy, just to be clear to our other listeners, those who hold to a pre-trib rapture would say that theoretically Jesus could come at any moment. He could come in the middle of our phone conversation. But that will then be followed by a 7-year tribulation period, at the end of which Jesus will return with his believers and set up his kingdom on the earth in Jerusalem.
Right.
So even from a pre-trib,
we believe that there's definitely a distinct difference between
right.
the church and the Jews. God is not done with the Jews. That's why we see after 2,000 years Israel is back in their
right.
land.
Right.
I'm
but,
very nervous
yeah,
about
but just to comment on this for our listeners, though, Kathy's point is that even if you're a pre-trib rapture person, Harold Camping's system completely violated that as well, because he said that we'll be taken out May 21st, and then the total end of the universe is like 5 months later. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing was false from first to last, no question about it. Hey, short on time, but thank you for weighing in. Again, even from a pre-trib rapture viewpoint, which is the viewpoint many of you listening hold to, his views should have completely disqualified themselves. Well, he would have said we were in the tribulation already. We've been in the tribulation, so it'd be some kind of mid or late trib rapture, whatever in the thing it was, is error from first to last. Chris in Thomasville, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Michael Brown. How you doing?
Doing very well, thanks.
I'd like to make a comment about that figure.
Sure.
Yeah, all this talk about hell camping, tradition, false tradition, rapture is unacceptable. However, he has gotten everyone talking. Think about some kind of Jesus and examine themselves, also in saved light. That's something that pastors failed to even try to do. Many pastors even failed to try to do anymore.
Yeah, you know, Chris, the fact is, as much as this is a bad thing because it's bringing reproach to the gospel, it's making a mockery of the name of Jesus, the media is mocking the idea of his return, the world is mocking the idea of his return. Many Christians now don't even want to talk about the subject, step back from it. You are right, Chris, that much of the church has failed to talk about the importance of the return of Jesus. They have failed to talk about the second coming and our meeting the Lord and being with him forever. And hopefully, Chris, we can use this for good instead of bad. Hopefully this will get us talking about the true side of it, the true story. So I appreciate you calling in with that perspective, sir. Thank you. And James in Richmond, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I wanted to say, before, on Friday, I sat down and met with my family, and I talked about the supposed end of the world. And I said that I informed them to me that you could not exclude that date because he said that it was that date because nobody knows. If nobody knows, then even with him making that prediction, it still could have been the date. But to me, it wouldn't have validated his prediction because he still didn't know until it actually happened. And I want to get your perspective on that.
I had the opposite perspective because he claimed to know and was proclaiming it that it couldn't be that day. And that also there were many other scriptures that were against him. In other words, I didn't look at this as a vacuum, but I appreciate your perspective. I looked at it the opposite. Because he was proclaiming that was the day, there was no way God was going to allow a false prophet, false prophecy to override his words. Because if Jesus came on that day, that would have meant Harold Camping did know the day and the hour, and therefore that verse wouldn't have been true. So to me, that was the one day I could guarantee you in writing Jesus would not come back. But hey, I'm out of time, James. Thanks for calling in. I'm glad you sat with your family over it. Yeah, so you get my drift, folks, because no man knew the day or the hour, and he claimed to know the day. So that was the one day I was 100% sure it wasn't going to happen. I also see many other scriptures that haven't lined up that would say that it's any second we're out of here. Nonetheless, I live in readiness to be before the Lord. That should be the focus of my life, that I'm here with him. If I leave this world, I'm in his presence, and therefore I'm living in a way that brings glory to his name. And again, our caller from North Carolina who said a lot of the church isn't even talking about the return of Jesus, it's true. It's very true. We need to recapture the importance of that. Look, next time you're reading through the New Testament, just take note of how often the theme comes up and how important it is. Not so much when it's happening, but what, the reality of what will happen and how that should affect how we live today. Something very important. That's why it's called the Blessed Hope. We've got some real practical resources this week as we chatted with our team about what to make available to you and the best way that we could do it. We've got 36 hours of teaching, the best teaching I've ever done on how to be led by the Spirit, 12 hours of teaching on one CD for MP3 listening, so your MP3 player or your computer, 12 hours on foundations of prayer, 12 hours on foundations of intercession. These are really practical, full of scripture. They'll inspire you. They'll help you get deeper in your walk with the Lord, and they'll be a blessing to you and others. Once you get them, feel free and duplicate them. Give them away to friends, okay? Be a blessing to other people. You have my blessing to do it. And we put everything together at less than half price, so it's only $30 postage paid for all 36 hours of teaching. So here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. And as you order these, you also sow into our radio ministry. We're in constant interaction with the Jewish community, raising up, sending out missionaries, edifying the body, speaking the truth. So you're blessing yourself and standing with us, blessing many others as well. 1-800-278-9978. One last time, 1-800-278-9978 or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Take advantage of the special spiritual life resource offer. My bottom line, let us not be deterred or discouraged or distracted because of a false teacher gaining prominence with a false teaching. Let us instead, all the more boldly, all the more clearly, hold to and proclaim the truth. Let us not draw back. Let us press forward.